Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Good morning. It's the Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio. Hope you're very well this morning. Steve Edge is here.
Good morning.
Morning, pal. How's it going?
All right, yeah. Yeah. Got a coffee on the go. Just
coffee?
You know, like everyone else. One. Yeah, got a little coffee.
Yeah. I've gone, I went a bit fancy this morning. More out of like...
Rhubarb.
No, I've just got normal coffee. I'll tell you what I have actually got. Because we're out of normal tea bags. I've got them ones that taste like biscuits have been dipped in them.
Oh, yeah, I remember you mentioning these.
Yeah.
To it's save you dipping right. your biscuit.
Yeah, it's actually fine. I went mainly because stuff was going off. You know when bread, that just you don't notice it going off and then you sort of halfway through a piece of toast and you're like, ah.
Yeah,
nasty.
Nothing worse.
One of them.
Nothing worse.
I've gone, I went crumpets, Philadelphia with smoked salmon.
You've got what you've gone there. You've gone with the three things that literally go off in a click of a finger, haven't you? Because the crumpet is famous for it. The Philadelphia. When you open that guy and you forgot
what
he was
is going
in there,
on with
the
Philly?
Top's all yeah. Philadelphia. It's
Philadelphia doesn't go off a bit, does it?
No, it really like frightens you. It's frightening. You're aghast when you pull that lid off.
Yeah, it's like the cure for COVID's in there, like.
It's in there. When they say like we're just bacteria and you know floating on somebody's toast in the universe. That's what I think. When you throw that in the bin, I think you've destroyed the universe with the world and everything.
Oh yeah.
No, and salmon obviously. You see, leave salmon out for 3 seconds too long. I mean, that's well done. You're like Bear Grylls having breakfast. I mean, it's a real risk for you, isn't it?
Well, they were all like literally today's date on them as well. So I was like, right, smashing that.
Oh, good, good, good.
So I'm all right. So felt quite a decadent breakfast, the old smoked salmon.
It's quite decadent. I think, it's nice though, isn't it? It feels like Christmas morning or Sunday or something. It's very decadent for, you know, this is a Friday pre-record, isn't it?
Yeah, just a random day in March. I'm going to get myself some
Friday,
smoked salmon.
Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, exactly. It's what it's all about. We were running so late for school the other day that all three of my girls had cereal in plastic containers.
What, in the car?
In the car, yeah.
Yeah. I've been there, yeah.
Yeah. Two of them don't drink the milk.
And it's your fault. It's your fault when you break too quick.
Yeah, exactly. Two of them don't drink the milk, so I had to, like, I must look mental. I'm driving down the street. I'm having to open the window and pour... like cereal milk out of a bowl, like just while I'm driving. Like, what must people think?
It looks like one of those sort of stop oil protests. You know what I mean? Stop dairy.
Yeah.
Just by pouring oat milk on the curb out of an electric car.
And they've all obviously have different milks now as well.
What's the main milk of choice?
Still the cow, to be fair.
The cow is the classic, yeah.
But...
Well, have you experimented with the milks?
Yeah, I've got...
Have you
gotten,
found a milk that you're happy with?
I don't mind a bit of oat milk.
In your tea?
Not so much in tea.
I think oat milk's all right on porridge. Because when you put it in tea, it tastes like you've just been eating porridge and you've had a cup of tea. Whereas if you put it in porridge, oat milk,
it's
all
fine.
From the same thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. The almond milk sort of seems to go all right into a latte or something, like a coffee.
Apparently,
I don't know how they're getting milk out of nuts. That's what I don't understand.
Are you imagining
somebody...
Because
they're dry, aren't they?
Squeezing it. You imagine somebody squeezing them. Like sat on a little stool with like a twig off a tree and then just like somebody milking a cow.
How do you milk a nut?
Squeezing the branches. I don't know. It's the sort of thing. Do you know what that question you've just asked? It's the sort of thing. If there was an Inside the Factory with Greg Wallace about, dairy alternatives, he would be over the bloke's shoulder with a blue hairnet on going, "How'd you milk a nut?" He's just shouting at him. That's exactly what. And then he'd go, "Oh, we don't milk the nut. How'd you do it? There's a lot of nuts in there. There's one in here and all." All that. He'd be doing all that.
And then, as usual, they go, "We pour these."
Be Greg Wallace. Pour these nuts into a vat and he picks it up and he pours them all over the floor, brings the factory to it. "Oh, I've been a right pig's ear of that, ain't I?" Oh, dear. If I find him annoying.
I can tell that. My other milk-based question, before we stick a song up, is how come they're all white? Like cow...
The milks, I know. Well...
Peanut. Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of creamier ones, don't get me wrong. Coconut. A
bit of beige to it, yeah. I know, that's
hemp,
weird, isn't it?
That? Sesame. Yeah. Banana milk you can get now. Like flaxseed milk, soy milk,
rice
milk.
Are you
sure you're
not confusing Nesquik?
Oh, yeah. That
you can get a banana milk.
Quinoa milk. How?
Why are they all white?
Why are they all white?
Some of them are a little bit beigey, aren't they?
Yeah. But still, just weird.
But what you're saying is you want a black milk. Is that what you want? Like a red milk or just some crazy colour? No one would have a red milk, would they?
No, that doesn't feel right, no.
No, I think that's why. I think we've answered our own question.
Yeah.
Any other colour, you'd go, no.
No, but are they making it white, you know, for us?
This is...
Jason Manford.
This is
Absolute Radio,
where real music matters.
Hey, Steve, how did your gig go the other day in London town?
Oh, with Robin Asquith. It went well. There was a tiny bit of drama.
I saw a picture of Robin with some paramedics around him.
Yeah, I took that picture. He asked me to. But basically, we were getting ready for the show about 6:30 and stuff, and then. It was just like a rogue nail sticking out of a wall, and he caught himself on it, and it was pretty painful looking.
Ouch.
And we had to get the paramedics there just to. It was a big old hole, and it sort of ripped his skin. And you know, he's a very active man, Robin. So he had polio when he was a kid. So he swims like 2-3 miles every day. He always has done. And he can't swim now for a month, and he sort of asked to.
Why is that? Because he's got just a hole in his hand.
There's a hole in the arm, yeah.
The water
will go through. Yeah, seawater will have something bad in it, and pool water will have something bad in it. So, and he was really upset, but because he didn't want to miss the show and stuff. But then they were there. Somebody came down on a bike from the top of Charing Cross Road within like 5 minutes. Had a look at him. Then like 10 minutes after that, full paramedic five man team arrived and looked after him. It was interesting because it would have been, you know, when you watch. Ambulance, and they go, is the patient still breathing? All that, and they go, is this, you know, it's a 73-year-old man in he's losing consciousness in the Phoenix Theatre. And they came in, it's excuse me, sir, can we ask your name? And he's like, Robin Asquith, like announcing himself. It was brilliant. And
how.
I thought, no, but I thought, well, he's all right now, he's better. His blood pressure dropped a bit, but he was absolutely fine. He trooper, did the show. Obviously, he gave him something to talk about. Obviously, when backstage, he had this, when they were all attending to him, he had this white vest on. And I remember thinking, this is the worst Die Hard remake I've ever seen. It's awful. Just an old fella in a vest. But he was...
he went on with the show, though.
He did go on with the show, Trooper, and we did it. And everybody seemed to enjoy it. Everyone was very, very drunk. You know, you'll notice this more than me. But obviously, we did the show, so we didn't have a drink. And obviously, there's a delay. We finished at, like, you know, 12:30 at night, and everyone been drinking since 5:00. They were battered.
I
understand a word. Eyes rolling back in their head. Yeah, the show.
Like, on a Monday as well.
I know.
Exactly. Monday night.
I was like, let's get out of here. I just want to go. And he was like, well, I've got to go because I've got stitches. I was like, no, let's go. I'll come with you. Let's go. But yeah, it was good. It was nice. It was very enjoyable.
I've had that on my own shows where it might be the end of tour or maybe I'm in Manchester and I think, oh, well, I'll put on some drinks, you know, for after the show.
Little party, hang out with some friends.
Yeah, that sort of thing. And then, of course, everyone's absolutely battered and you're the only one sober at your own party that you paid for.
You don't want to spend any time with those people.
That's not fun. Do you think you'll do some more?
I don't know, maybe. We'll stay. But, you know, he lives in Malta, doesn't he? So it's difficult.
Right. Fun though. But yeah,
we had
got some cracking stories.
Oh, he's got loads. He's got, you know, that's the thing. He does these nights and lots of people have, the same people come. So they've heard a lot of these stories. So we were trying to do different stories just because I've heard a lot of stories that he hasn't told publicly.
Right.
And there's reasons for some of them.
legal reasons.
But I think let's just see what happens.
Go for it, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but it was a lovely. Oh. Three of the Mangos there as well. They rocked
up. Oh, yeah, Jason Manford fan club, the Mangos.
Yes. Yeah, the second half was... sort of Q&A, and one of the questions was, can you give me some octopus facts? And he also got given an octopus mug where one of the tentacles was the handle, but
it's
I didn't want to touch it. Do you know what I mean? Well, it's got to be, hasn't it?
We've learnt too much about
not touching that one.
The octopus.
Yeah, so I've yet to drink a cup of tea out of it because it just feels wrong.
Not worth it. Jason
Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
The other day, I don't know if you saw this, I posted it on the social media. My daughter, my sassy nine-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'd booked in a little... it was Saturday, so we were like, right, let's do some fitness stuff. Let's not just sit on our iPads and watching telly and football and stuff. Let's get out and do something. So I booked in some tennis. There was like a tennis camp with a load of other kids for my little two. My wife went to Reformer Pilates. I don't know if you know
what that is,
Steve.
What's Reformer Pilates?
It's Pilates, but it's on like a wooden bed.
Right.
Which like moves and stuff. And so let's say you do like a lunge.
Yeah.
You lunge, but then this seat sort of moves. So you get an even deeper lunge.
Oh, okay. We don't fall off.
Well, you can fall off the ropes and stuff like that. You can sort of.
I want to bump into somebody and them going, "What's happened to your arm?" I said, like in the sling going, "I was doing Reformer Pilates and I lunged too far." Yeah. You know what I mean? It just sounds like I wouldn't like myself.
You know. Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah. But I don't know. Do you know what? It's one of those. Do you ever see like the odd? We went to a museum a few weeks ago. Do you ever see like the old medieval rack?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know where they tied the legs, they've tied the arms, and they stretched them until death. Right, yeah. Awful. But have you got to an age now where you think to yourself, "I know that's awful," but for like. In the middle somewhere for about 5 seconds, 10 seconds, yeah.
Yeah, that no, because obviously if you just turn it a little bit, don't keep turning it. I'll tell you when to stop. Don't... Stop there.
Yeah, you'll know.
Just leave it there for a bit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree.
Anyway, she did that and I was doing, paddle tennis. I was playing paddle tennis.
Oh, paddle tennis.
Yeah. I'm a paddle tennis guy now. Steve.
I know you are. We've discussed this before. You're a paddle tennis guy. You got your own paddle tennis. You get them in the boot of your car, don't you? You've got them ready to go. Paddle tennis, I'm ready. Go.
Anyway, on the way there, my daughter goes, "Daddy, how long are we going to be a fitness family this time?"
Oh, okay. So she feel like she's seen this before.
Yeah, she's been through this rigmarole before where...
Yeah.
And usually me goes, "Right, come on. Come on, let's get out there.
Come on, guys. We're going to do this. I'm a paddle guy. Yeah. But Daddy, you used to be a kayaking guy and a snowboarding guy. It's all still in the loft.
And it's all like projected. So, because I go, "Yeah, but we've just got to be more active." She went, do you know what my week's like? She's nine. This is how she talks to me.
Yeah, go on.
Do you know what my week's like? I said, she went, "I've got PE. I do games. I'm on the rugby team. I play hockey. I play football. I do judo at lunchtime on a Wednesday."
She just wants to sit down.
Yeah, she's like, "I'm active, okay?
Yeah, don't worry about me."
I was like, "Fair enough, I'll take your point." But we're a fitness family now, Steve. I'm a fitness guy.
Well, you don't know what your kids are up to, do you?
No, of course.
There's a marathon this week or the next week, I think, in Hastings, St Leonard's. But there's like a kids one. It's like sort of 3 kilometres or something. I put Hal down for it to do it. He fancied doing it with his mate, Herbie, who's the same age. And I said, it's probably about just a mile and just under 2 miles. And he went, "That's okay. We do a daily mile at school." And I was like, "Do you?" Yeah. And he's like, "Yeah, we run a mile every day at school." I was like, I never knew this. He does a daily mile at school. I just thought he won't be able to do this, but he'll have a bib.
Smashing it.
I don't know, do you?
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
I wasn't going to do this, Steve, because I feel like everyone's talking about it. And I have spent the last 2 or 3 weeks, or the last 2 weeks, ignoring my wife's obsession with the whereabouts of Kate Middleton.
Oh, yeah, okay. I don't know a lot about it. I think I've missed this. I don't.
Right, well, I
get confused with the royal family generally, but try me.
Right.
So she's the one who's married to the bald one or the angry one?
Who's going to be king? No. So she's married to Prince William.
Right. He's the bald one.
And he's good. Yeah. And he's.
Who's the one who abdicated? That was King George, wasn't it?
That was George, yeah. It's quite a while ago now. I don't think we can hold that against him anymore.
And the one with the big ears? Which one's the one with the ears?
That's Charlie.
And that's the current king. Got you.
Yeah. He's the king and he's not well at the moment either.
Oh, is he not well either?
So he's not well. And. This is going on. I'm worried that we're going to get invaded. This is the sort of thing that when your royals are distracted like this, I think the French are giving it. we could invade here.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying, yeah. They are distracted. So, yeah, basically.
So where has she gone? Because
I thought everyone was talking about this. And then I literally, our cleaner popped in this morning. And I was just sat scrolling through something about Kate Middleton. She was like, oh, what's happened to her? I was like, what do you mean what's happened to her? This is I thought the whole world was talking about this. But my wife's just obsessed with it. And so now I've become into it.
So it's like when you watch one episode of Love Island and you end up watching the entire series.
Yeah. Or I did it with, what was Take Me Emma Out, Dale. That Paddy show.
Yeah.
Like, what's this rubbish? Just pause it while I go for a wee.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so once you're in, right?
Yeah, exactly that. And so basically, she's not been seen, Steve, in public since like Christmas, December.
I thought there was a photograph of her. Was that
no, Steve? So this is the mad thing. What? So they've released this photo, and but it's full of Photoshop errors on it.
Is it?
Quite amateur.
So it's been sort of made.
Yeah. Essentially, or it's been doctored to sort of make it look like a different photo or whatever it is. You know, it's like a green tree in the background and little things that you go, well, that can't be right. You know what I mean?
Okay,
like bits like that. The cuff was wrong. I don't know. Weirdly, the prince had his fingers crossed, like as if he'd gone, I love you, but or whatever, with his fingers crossed and didn't mean it. Nobody knows what that is about. No one's really talking about
that. Is that Bonnie Prince Charlie? That's the... I get confused with the royals.
George, eh?
Right. George. Was he the one in when the Fire of London happened? No. I get confused with the royals of Sussex.
I don't you get mixed up.
Yeah. That's King Charles. Sorry.
Yeah. And... but the weirdest thing about the whole thing is, right, if they'd have said, oh, sorry, yeah, look, we released this photo, we did do a bit of Photoshop on it, like most photos, like most people. Most people are doctoring their own photos before they put them on their own social media.
Yeah,
so
it's not filter,
weird for that to happen. The weirdest thing is they went, yeah, Kate did it.
Kate did what? What, doctored a photo?
Yeah, Kate's got like a Adobe. And is going through and doing her own photos
just
and
brushing them up, touching them up. Oh, I'll make that cuff a bit weird just to get a bit of chatting. Put some more leaves on that tree.
She released. Apparently, she is the one doing her own. I mean, imagine you've worked so hard to become a princess.
Yeah.
And then you have to do your own press photos.
No, but she must have had that skill originally. And just because you're a princess and if you've learned to do Adobe, you still use it. You know what I mean? It's like people looking programming Flash, isn't it? You might as well if you can still do it.
It's so weird that anyone is expecting us to believe that Kate Middleton photoshops her own photos before giving it to the press. Yeah. It's absolutely bonkers, but... who knows? I'm sure she'll turn up. Guess what's back, Steve?
What's back?
It's hashtag bin chat.
Hashtag bin chat.
Hashtag bin chat.
Bin chat. Bin chat. Bin chat. Bin chat. Bin chat. Bin chat. Bin chat. Bin chat. Bin chat. Bin chat.
What about that?
It's like an old friend arriving for a visit, isn't it? Yeah.
Sometimes on a morning, I will just write bins into Google. And then click news and see what's going on.
Yeah, just to check what's out there in the bin universe.
The big headlines.
Go on, the big ones.
In the tabloids the other day was a huge bin collection chain sees millions of Brits forced to pay to have their rubbish taken away every other week. Yeah. Coventry Telegraph also reported that fury has Coventry residents face fortnightly bin collection charge.
What is this because of like the council's loot, going bankrupt and all? Is it something to do with that? And you've got to chip into empty your own bins. Oh, they'll just be fly tipping. They'll be fly tipping in Wolverhampton. Chuck it in, cut. Yeah, they'll be fly tipping.
Shall I read you the headline? If I'm the Express and Star?
Yeah, go on.
Wolverhampton residents complain of fly tips after bins go uncollected under the new rules. There you
go. Told you. I mean, it's like I've got a crystal ball. exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. There's lots of news. People breaking recycling rules will have their bins tagged as a warning.
Does anyone check that, though?
I don't know.
Do you know what I mean? They just load into the back of the van. Do you wash everything out? I mean, I try my best to, but sometimes...
I do my best.
Like that Philadelphia thing we were talking about earlier on. I won't. Yeah. I'll just throw that in as it is.
Well, I mean, you've got, because it's white on white as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
You probably wouldn't see it anyway.
Exactly.
But we've got an actual email, of course. So if you've got any bin-related news that you want to spread to the world, you've got any questions, we know what we're doing over here with the binfluencers over here on Absolute Radio. This is from Susie, Chris, Finn and Alex from Surrey.
Okay.
Hi, Jason and Steve. We love your show. Thanks, guys.
I sound surprised.
It does actually come with an exclamation mark as well. So maybe
we love your show. Don't know why. We're from Surrey.
We would like to know if we are supposed to clean... Oh, Steve, this is literally what you were just talking about.
Oh, go on. Yeah.
If we are supposed to clean out plastic food containers before we put them in the recycling. My husband always chucks in yoghurt pots, etc., with half a ton of yoghurt still left on them, and it drives me mad.
That's my guy.
I clean out every container diligently. Please, can the bin technicians help us resolve this family argument?
Well, I think you meant to, but at the same time, I think when that gets to the recycling centre or wherever it goes, or they put all the plastic on a big conveyor belt, at some point it's going to get a wash, isn't it, before it gets melted down and stuff. So, like, I think it makes it a little bit easier if it's not full of food because it'll just gunk the machine
up. That's just horrible,
Yeah, but like a little, like I'm with him, a little bit of yogurt's not going to... If you've got a recycling centre that's a little bit of yogurt's bringing down, then the planet's had it.
Yeah, and also like no one's buying an eco-friendly handbag made from recycled tins and plastics and there's peach Melba yogurt in the corner of the...
Like a fruit corner. Like a muller fruit corner. Bag.
Yeah. You're like, oh, some dirty guy didn't clean out their yogurt pot.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's a great idea, though, isn't it? Just like, you know, when they do make a carrier bag out, like, keep some of the label on. So it just says, like, Co-op Greek yogurt down the bottom. And, you know.
I would say the rule of thumb is a quick rinse out. I don't think you need to go crazy.
I think anything that will, I think it's very much, I see it like the dishwasher. So anything, like if there's like a bit of rice in it or noodle or something, get rid of that because that's not going to, that's going to stain your dishwasher. So that I'd do the same with that level. If there's a little bit of sauce in the bottom, you know, that would water would get rid of it, I'll go and do with that.
Yeah.
You know what about when you get like bacon and stuff and it says, you can recycle this bit, but you can't recycle that bit, you know that, and you're meant to peel a bit off. Do you just chuck the whole thing in?
On occasion, yeah. I mean, I don't really know if I'm... do you know what I'd like to do? I think I've said this to you before. Mm. I wouldn't mind spending a few hours at a recycling place.
Just
I'd like
to see what happens.
I'd like the bin men to pick me up here with the bins and then just drive me through this. And I want to see the system because I don't fully believe that what I'm doing in the kitchen is actually helping the dolphins.
Well... Yeah, but it might be up in... It might not be... I hear what you're saying, but it might not be hindering the dolphins.
Right, I've got you.
So, you know, we can only do as much as we can do, can't we? But it's...
I just feel like...
It's confusing, I think,
but
sometimes.
Don't you think, like, we're just... And I get it. Everyone's just one person, one family and all that, right? But unless a company full of thousands of people's doing it, you're a bit like... Like when I stay at hotels and they've got those little plastic wash... Like, shampoo and conditioners and all that.
Yeah.
I think, what's that? Is that just done? I've just used this and that's gone in the bin now.
Yeah.
That's mental if that's the case.
Well, yeah, that is mad. The little ones, I know what you mean. Yeah, there should be a little pump one, shouldn't there? But yeah.
Anyway, it won't be our planet's day. We'll be long gone, but it's just not nice for the kids, is it, really?
It's the kids.
You sort it.
Yeah, I tried my best. When I was a kid, we used to take our pop bottles back and get 10p. We don't do that anymore. That's what we say. And like that somehow gets us away from the argument. Jason.
Absolute Radio. Manford. Where real music matters. We've got an email from C. It just says C.
C?
C on email, yeah. It says, hello, you lovely pair. Nice, isn't it, Steve?
It's lovely, yeah.
I was listening to your other brilliant podcast... We have got another podcast, actually, haven't we?
It was the Best Men one, yeah.
Best Men. It's very good. When Jason told the story of a time he pretended to be Irish, and it unlocked a very embarrassing memory.
It was Euro Disney. It was
Euro Disney when I was a kid.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of English people were getting mugged, and I just thought, everyone loves the Irish. So my family were Irish, so I thought, I can do the accent. Yeah. And then in the middle of Euro Disney, ended up finding the only Irish guy that was there, working there. Yes, who ended up being from the same village as the only village I could remember. I was pretending to be from, yeah. No way. Upper or lower? Was one of them.
Yeah.
Anyway, C said, this has unlocked a very embarrassing memory for me. Okay. When I was younger, I was, let's say, heavily refreshed, and I met a lovely Irish fella. Well, for some reason, I thought the way to impress him would be to put on an Irish accent. People love that, by the way.
I think it's the three accents everyone will do back at you. Irish, yeah. Geordie, no, Scouse as well, and Brummie. Yeah. They will always Brummie. Do back at you.
Yeah, Brummie, and they actually say it, only Brummie.
And then you go, you're right, and they go, you're right.
Yeah.
You go,
people from Burnley get that as well.
Yeah.
Burnley, like people can't help it. He must also have had a few refreshments, as I'm shocking at accents, but I somehow pulled it off. When he said he was from Derry, I replied, no way, same, what are the chances? They must have been in a loud club, this, if she's very good at accents, because that is a tough accent to get to.
It's very specific, isn't it?
Derry, like, tough, yeah. Derry. We ended up going back to his when I then discovered he lives with his nan. She wakes up as we walk in at 3 a.m. and stands at the top of the stairs. He proceeds to tell her that I'm also from Derry, and she insists on singing Derry's, like, national song, whatever that is, and encouraging me to sing along. Not wanting to be rude, I attempt to sing in an Irish accent to a song I'd never heard. She soon called me out and told him I wasn't Irish and even asked me to leave.
Well, I mean...
I left very red-faced, really, and luckily never saw him again.
Well, that's got herself in the right pickle there, hasn't she?
She has, really, hasn't she? And she's not even 3 a.m. That is the point where you think, right, this is on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If you've gone back to someone's house, nan.
No, but where do you go from there? You're 3 o'clock in the morning, you're outside going, I've got to get a taxi. But they're sort of
stop it now.
Yeah. Oh, you don't get a taxi. Yeah, they can't do it.
What are we going to do?
Let's go down Fells. Have a pint in Fells.
That is unlucky, isn't it? That, crikey.
Mm. Well, that did escalate.
I say, though, that is a guy who loves his nan. Because I wouldn't care what my nana was saying.
When she was singing it, did you imagine that, like, she was at the very top of the stairs, there at the bottom of the stairs, and she was doing that thing where you dance with your feet and you lift your skirt up over your knees and flip it up. I was imagining her doing that. Glasses on, that as well. False teeth not in.
No.
Just singing along.
Also, at what point did the nan go, I smell a rat, you know what I mean? Like, at what point... You're not Irish.
This is not the first time this has happened.
Get out. Get out now.
Right.
But that
Let's see if she knows the Derry Do you know the Derry National Anthem? I don't know. There isn't one.
I tricked you.
The Macarena. You thought that was the Derry National Anthem and you didn't know all the words.
I just can't understand this bloke who has put all that effort in all night to pull someone. Get home. It's happening. Yeah. She's come home with you. You are getting it on.
You must have sensed it at some point as well.
Of course you did.
Don't bring out King Derry Sniffer, the nan, who will tell straight away know that she's not. But whatever you do, don't bring her out. She's like Columbo. And she's ruined his night.
I just can't. I'm certainly back in the day, I wouldn't care what accent you pretended to be having or what my nana was saying. I'd be like, get to bed, we're busy.
Yeah. Come on, nan. Not now.
Sunday mornings, 8 till 11. Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
So our email that we got from C there, who told us that she'd pretended to be Irish until she got home. To impress a fella. And then ended up not getting kicked out, essentially, of the house when the nana found her out to not be Irish. She asks this question. Have either of you ever lied or pretended to be something to impress a girl?
I don't think I have.
Well, you're naturally impressive, aren't you? So you don't need to.
Well, that's it, yeah. I remember going to, like, I was in Manchester and we used to do stand-up. I remember we used to get invited to, like, the Man United Christmas parties, and there'd be lots of, like, sort of sultry, sort of young girls who were after, like, you know, at least me and Paddy used to go McGuinness.
Yeah.
And we'd just be there, just two lads. And they'd go, what do you do? And we'd go, we're in the youth team. Even though we were like 25. Because we were there. So there was nothing else we could say. And obviously,
and this
so
was pre-internet. So they
I mean, it never worked. We didn't do it with any conviction.
No.
But yeah, we used to say we were in the youth team. And then I think sometimes we used to say we were bin men. Which I don't know why we would be at the Man United Christmas party, but we were, which, you know.
Hashtag's in,
night out, innit?
Yeah, of course. Something to do, innit? I don't know. I feel like, do you know what's hard as a stand-up is that you spend your life sort of pretending a little bit to impress people. So I've got to a point where I don't, sometimes with stories and information, I often don't know where the truth ends and the glitter you've added started.
I don't. But I can truly like visualize things that have happened, and then they haven't happened. I've made that up.
Yeah, my wife. Gone,
no, like, I was there. My wife that never happened.
At me like, that never happened. Or I've done it. Obviously, we've been friends for so long, where you've told me a funny story.
Yeah,
that
and then
you've
told
in.
It back at me.
And then, like weeks later, months later, I've gone, "Hey, here's a funny story."
Yeah, no, but that's I said that's like a just to simulate the story and add a little bit to it. And,
yeah, flourish, had a flourish here, flourish there.
But there's a director called David Sant, and he told me the story like when I worked with him first about 12 years ago, and I've told this. I won't tell it now. I've told this story about 12 years. And then about a year ago, I said, I've told that story about you. And he went, what is the story? I said, well, I think I might have added a bit. And I told him the story. He went, literally none of that happened. You've added everything. None of it. Like, it's so much I've added. And I can picture him saying 12 years ago, 15 years ago, but no, he never did. None of this happened. I love that. We're storytellers.
Questions for Steve. 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 Questions for Steve.
Love it. So we have got a question for Steve. If you've got any questions that you want to ask us, you can email us jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. This is from Jenny in Chelmsford, who says, a question for both of you.
Okay.
And it's something I've thought long about myself. £10 million in your hand right now.
Yeah.
But there's a catch.
Okay. Of course there is.
A snail is chasing you for the rest of your life. And if it touches you, you die. All right? These are the rules.
Yeah.
The snail cannot be killed or any harm at all.
So it lives forever. Okay.
Lives forever. It knows your location at all times.
Clever snail.
Its only purpose is to find you.
Yeah.
It can travel, so if you move country, it will eventually get there.
Yeah, but Ellen's
are you taking the money? Well, that's what I mean.
I mean,
a snake. I mean, if you'd have said monkey,
if
or
you'd
something,
have said, I don't know, if you'd have said like
a bit about it.
Yeah, like if you'd have said like hamster, I would have been. They could move at a bit of speed if they wanted, but a snail. I've got £10 million. Can I get a company to make a snail alarm, right? Which is an app that's on my phone, and when there's a snail within 50 metres of me, it goes off. And then it can never get near me, can it? Because the alarm, on the phone.
Yeah,
or is this snail impervious to alarms and GPS?
Is she saying you can't even fall asleep because suddenly it's just in your room? Also, how's it getting through doors and that?
I don't know. Well, that's, yeah. But yeah, but you can't lock yourself in a room forever, can you?
No, but you can go to bed, I mean. Like, what I mean is, are you constantly
just
awake?
Just wait outside the front door. No, I wait outside the front door for you, isn't it? And then, I'll see him when he comes out to get in his car. And then you come out in the morning, get in your car, and he goes, right, he's in his... Oh, he's gone. So I don't know where the snail...
I think out of the two, the snail's got the harder job.
I think so, yeah.
You know what I mean? I think you're going to be... you're cracking on with your day, and then suddenly, Shelley... Rocks up, whatever it's called.
Let's call it Shelley. Yeah.
But they do look similar, don't they?
So you're scared of all snails? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what my worry is. Do they work together as a team?
I think the only way you can get you is if it's got its own, like a little plane that it can fly and a little car that it can drive.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? What if it's got a little car and then when you drive through France and it's in its little car and the French go, oh, look at that escargot. Do you know what I mean? Sorry.
My God. My God.
I got to it quite. Because you were up for the idea of him having a car, weren't you?
I was actually thinking, this is a good idea. I like this.
Yeah. But I think the snail alarm on your phone.
No, don't start talking again like you didn't just do that.
There'll be a French bloke somewhere going, escargot. Laughing his head off. He'd probably be the king of France, eating that one egg for breakfast.
Oh, here he goes.
No, I'll let you fill in the gaps yourself.
Hit me with your best fact. Woo! Fire away.
Yeah, we've been jingle heavy this morning. We've used all three of our
extra long jingles.
There they are. This is a simple game. If you've never played before, all you've got to do is email us, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk, with your best facts and try to wow us with your amazing facts. And if you do, you can win an amazing Absolute Radio mug. I think you saw one.
They bought the Jason Manford Show mug. They bought
old school.
Yeah,
collector's edition now, eh?
Well, this one was cracked down the side because, as I pointed out, Janet, they're not fit for purpose. You know, they're not fit for purpose. But you'd signed one side and now I'd signed the other side. So it's a full... when it breaks in half, you've got a signature for each day.
There you go. If you want to join in, the facts just need to be something that make us go, I might be able to use it in everyday life. That's what we like, don't we, Steve?
We like that sort of fact. Spring facts is what we're looking for now. Or something about constant rain. A fact about constant rain.
It's not good, is it? Not nice out there. Steve York actually gives us a topical one, with it being the Cheltenham Festival this week.
Oh, is it?
I feel like the word festival's overused when it comes to a horse race.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I agree.
Should it be called the Cheltenham Horse Racing? Festival feels like there's going to be like a little show on.
You feel like the horses are going to race for a bit and then go, right, who's on the horses? Foo Fighters. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the festival, isn't it? No, it's not, no.
Steve York says, during this week's Cheltenham Festival, the race course was the UK's busiest temporary airport, receiving over 400 flights in 4 days.
That's weird, isn't it?
What, the race course?
An airport.
Does he mean helicopters of rich people?
Yeah, because it can't be. There's no like runway, is there, or is there? I don't know.
No, there's definitely no runway at Cheltenham race course. But I guess it is a long stretch if you wanted to. Yeah, there you go.
Like a little plane, like a Cessna.
Yeah, I guess 400. 100 flights, 100 helicopters land in a day of the thousands of people, and a lot of them have got money. That sort of makes sense, doesn't it?
There's more than 100 flights that leave an airport in a day, though, isn't there? Like Heathrow.
Busiest temporary airport.
Temporary airport. Oh, okay. Oh, if I've missed that bit.
Yeah. Fiona Morgan throws in this one. Did you know that bees, we love a bee fact.
I watched that Jason Statham film the other day.
What's it like?
Absolutely awful, but brilliant. I mean, just to give you a little summary, right? Yeah. So in the level of like intelligence and sort of like super spies, you know, like there's the invisible ones, and then there's the ghosts, you know, that are completely invisible, no airplane. And then above that, even more invisible than that, they're called beekeepers, this special like breed of like super spies, invisible beekeepers. A beekeeper. Guess what he does in real life as his cover? He's a beekeeper. He's got a load of beekeeper. Like, if he was still a ghost, he'd feel like he'd be dressed as like one of them blue ones out of Pac-Man. He's literally a beekeeper on a hill, speaking gruff. And you go, are you a bee? And then the next beekeeper, when you see her, she's dressed like Pat Benatar. She's not keeping a low profile. Anyway, watch it yourself. No, it's the best / worst film ever made. It's great.
All right, I'm in. Well, it got 3 stars in The Guardian.
Well, they know their stuff, because I'd give it definitely 3 stars as well.
Yeah, they said the actor stays in the same lane to play a trained killer taking down the bad guys in this enjoyable, silly time waster.
Yeah, well, that's what I would say. Yeah, there you go.
Fair enough. Anyway, the rest of this fact from Fiona says, did you know that bees have photographic memories and can recognise human faces?
Oh, bees are good, aren't they?
Bees are clever, aren't they?
There's so much about bees. You could do a book on bees. Well, God, actually, well, there is a lot of bee references. It's obviously, yeah, it's really weird. They keep going, no, in the bee, you know, colony, the bee, the queen bee controls the hive, and sometimes the hornet gets it. There's all these analogies, which are really well thought out. But you keep going, yeah, but he's not really a bee. So he's just, he's a bloke with a gun. He's not really a bee. So, like, regardless of what happens to the hive and the structure of the hive and the honey, he's just a bloke.
He's just a guy. Oh, I see. Yeah, there's a few quotes here, like, when someone hurts an older person, sometimes they're left to face the hornets alone.
That's right at the beginning. Yeah.
Part of a hive protecting the queen.
What
bee?
Hornets? When someone hurts an older person, they're left the hornets. What hornets attacking old people? Doesn't make any sense. But, you know, it's great. It's very good. Brilliant film.
Jason Manford. Absolute Radio. Where real music matters.
Steve Edge is here. The new Barry Norman.
Yeah.
Recommended films left, right and centre here. The Beekeeper. Well,
If you know what, you know what you're getting. If you're after that on a Friday or a Saturday night.
What do you want it to be?
Exactly what you want it to be.
That's what it should be called.
Yeah. I mean, we all love The Rock, but it's a similar sort of film. You go, you'd be disappointed if The Rock made a film and it was about a mathematician who was struggling with Alzheimer's. You'd be like, oh, that's not what I expected.
Yeah, it's not what you're in for. Is it funny? Is there any chuckles in there?
Oh, yeah, but non-intentional, I think. It's weirdly set in Chicago, I think. And clearly filmed in London. So you can see like Goode Street in the background and like Pelican Crossings as an all bar one in one shot. Okay. But they're just making it at Chicago. It's great. It's brilliant. Yeah. And there's lots of actors I know in it doing an American accent who I know are from like Warsaw. yeah. And it's funny. It's good. I can't recommend it enough. I'll tell you what I've been watching.
I've been watching Reacher on Prime.
Oh, yeah. Any good?
Yeah, it is actually. Again, it's sort of, you know, a bit of a silly waste of time, but it's got a bit of conspiracy in there. It's got a bit of, you know, fighting and a bit of. It's good. Some good lines.
Yeah,
good one-liners.
Quite similar. Yeah,
he is massive, and so there's quite a lot of time. I'll be honest with you, Steve. I feel like I can say this to you because you know we know each other well.
Yeah.
The body on this guy, Steve. Honestly, I sometimes have to. There's been a couple of times where I paused it and shouted Lucy in to come and have a look at it.
Look at this. Have a look at that.
He's got
glutes on that. He's got glutes on glutes.
He's got a muscle, Steve. Yeah. The other day I paused it and shouted Lucy in. I said, is that supposed to be. Are we supposed to have that?
Have we all got one? Is that what you're saying? But it's
basically.
He was in bed.
He was in bed and he was sort of, his duvet was just up to his like privates and then above that it was naked. He had a six pack and then under the six pack towards his privates, there was like a triangle sort of muscle shape.
I think that sounds like a hernia. I think he's got a hernia. Yeah.
He's been lifting too many weights. Steve. It didn't make sense to me at all. I was like, I mean, I've not got the six pack. I presume you've got to get that first.
Yeah, it's a bonus. It's one of the seven. You get a special triangle when you get the six pack.
Yeah, I'm getting to the belief now with muscles that it's genetic. Yeah.
I think so. But some of them look weird.
You haven't got them in your family, you know, or like, you haven't.
Those ones that come out your neck, they're your traps. I think feel like they're. We don't need them, do we?
No, is that the one where the neck ends and the shoulder sort of begins, but it's like it connects the two.
Yeah, but you don't need it connecting. It would feel like you'd have to buy special shirts because the collar wouldn't work anymore.
It'd be like you had a neck pillow on all the time.
Yeah, it'd be great when you're on long flights.
Oh, when you're on an aeroplane.
You sleep on your own traps.
Your own neck. Yeah, it's not that.
Maybe that's what it's for. Maybe they travel a lot with bodybuilding competitions and the like.
Yeah, that'll be it. You can play little marbles down that little triangle one near your groin.
Yeah, perfect. There you go. That's what it's for.
So we've got Steve Hurst, who says, in Norway, university students are given a sword and a hat when they obtain a doctorate.
Really?
That shows you how much they can trust Norwegian students. Imagine that with a load of students from Salford Uni.
Well, especially on graduation day, that's the day you get to have a little drink, isn't it? And you're just running around like Chapel Street in Salford with a sword. I mean,
I think to be fair, you'd blend in.
I
was going to say, Salford Uni, they should give you that on the first day of university.
Yeah. And then like the a special last. Like commemorative golden sword. If you didn't get have to use it at
you
all
didn't have
during,
to use
your,
it
doing,
time,
your,
yeah.
doing your degree. Yeah.
Barry Sewell says the Egyptians invented the colour blue. Until we met them, no European or Asian civilization had the colour blue.
I love that. Just the Egyptians going, yeah, just whack a bit of blue on that. A bit of what? Blue. You not got blue? You've heard of blue. I've never heard of blue. What's blue? Blue? You never heard of blue? Because we also had the fact the other week that the colour orange wasn't called orange.
Yeah, the fruit came first.
So there'd be some European blokes going, well, I've got this orange. And the Egyptians going, what's that? You mean yellow, red? And they've gone, no, orange. The fruit's orange. We call the colour orange. But you've never heard of blue.
But what did they call the sky then, like when they looked up?
It must be a shade of blue, mustn't it? Like, never had blue.
That's bizarre, isn't it?
I don't know. What did they call the Australian cartoon? They didn't have a name for that, Bluey. They didn't know what it was called.
Yeah, I don't know which came first, to be honest.
No, I can't. I'd get confused. I don't know which came first either.
That's bizarre.
Well, it's a good fact. It's a good fact.
It is a good fact. I like that. And as a City fan, I could use that.
Well, yeah.
At the match, I'm surrounded by it, aren't I?
Yeah. Well, what would they sing? What would everyone else sing, except for the Egyptians? Something moon. They'd just sing.
They must have called it. Shout.
Like with the orange, the yellow. Moon. They must have called it something. Sky. They must have just called it sky or something, like you said.
Yeah, it makes sense. I don't know what's going on there. Weird. But I like it. Good fact, though. Good fact. Lee Patterson, a slightly morbid but yet fun fact for your Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. The rock band Kiss sell their own range of coffins.
Do they?
Wow. That is a bit morbid, but I quite like it.
You've got to be a bit of a Kiss fan, haven't you, to, you know, for life as well, to buy one of their
Yeah, life merch. And death.
Yeah, because you might like them when you're like, you know,
that is,
you know, when you're in your teenage years. It's a bit of fun, isn't it? They've got a bit of makeup on. And then you've invested in a coffin and you're in your 50s, 60s, and you're going to get buried
not
in a
Kiss
coffin.
Anymore.
Yeah, well, I pay for it now, though. That's the thing. I'm not even sure I'll fit it anymore, you know?
Yeah, that's the other thing. You're really counting on it, aren't you?
Yeah.
A kiss casket.
Yeah, a kisket.
Kisket, there you go. What are our favourite subjects for facts, Steve?
Well, we like octopuses. We like Lego.
Yeah.
We like
what's the other animal we like a fact on?
I've forgotten what it's called. You know, don't think of the same one. The one that sits the on slot. The sofa. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Sits on the sofa.
That's where we imagine it, just from Gogglebox, just the advert with a sloth. When you think of a sloth, that's where the first place I think of them. So what do? They come down out of a tree to have a poo, or do they throw it out of the tree? I can't remember. Lots
poos,
of sloth facts.
I can't remember. Yeah, lots of them.
Square poos, yeah.
Louise tells us, since you love a sloth fact, how about this one? Sloths can cure some strains of cancer.
Dr. Sloth. Really?
Dr. Sloth. Imagine you got into the doctors and there was a sloth there. Wow.
Yeah, what's this guy? Yeah.
Good to know. What is that? Is it because of its blood or it's saliva or
square poo?
Knowledge.
Just well,
how is it doing it?
Well, it just I don't know.
Or is the rest of that sentence sloths can cure some strains of cancer, but they can't be bothered?
Yeah. Or is it their genetic makeup that's their cancers rather than
right?
Do you know what I mean?
Each other. Oh, I like it, though. It's making us ask questions, Steve.
We are asking questions.
Christine Foy says there was over 300 banana-related injuries in Britain in 2001.
3,000?
300.
In 2000? Why that specific?
I don't know why it's specific for that year. I don't know.
Everyone just sort of relaxed a bit because we got over the millennium bug without our video recorders turning off.
Yeah, exactly.
And then just kept leaving banana skins all over the floor.
Is that what, so happy.
Yeah,
is it like in a... Weird, that, isn't it?
It's funny, isn't it? I want to know.
I imagine it is from people slipping on them.
That's got. Have you ever tried it?
Yeah, it's not as slippy as you think, but
it is. No, it is. You get it on the right floor. You get it on the kitchen floor. Get it on the tile floor or a sort of any floor with a bit of a sheen. Bathroom floor. Put it the skin side out, the inside down. you will go flying.
Really?
It's dead slippy.
Well, I mean, somebody's. I want to do that.
But put one, get two bananas, put one on each feet, white bit down, white side down, and you can skate across your kitchen.
No way.
There you go. Right. Something to do this afternoon, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to do that. There was a guy...
2024 had 4,000 banana rating agencies.
2,000 of them were Absolute Radio listeners.
Don't, because it's, because it's his very slippery.
Yeah. There was a guy once who died from slipping on an orange peel.
Really?
Yeah, he'd gone over Niagara Falls in a barrel as well. He was famous for that.
But then he died slipping on an orange peel.
Yeah, so he'd done that, but then it was the orange peel that took him out.
I thought it was going to be a joke.
I'm sorry. He wasn't peeling very well.
I was waiting for it, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. No, there was no gag there. Just a man's death, Steve.
No, I know. That's why I thought it was so stark. I thought it was going to be a lift at the end of this, but no.
No, sometimes we're just... You know, life's
facts.
not
this is hit me with your best facts. Sometimes you just hit, the world is not, you know.
It's not hit me with your best jokes, Steve.
Well, that sort facts. Of disproves karma, doesn't it? Because he seems like he's done, you know. Did he say he went over for charity over Niagara Falls?
Well, I don't know if he went for charity or not.
Or just for a laugh. He's pretending he was from Derry.
This is Jason. This is Absolute Radio,
where real music matters.
Okay, let's pick a winner for our best facts this week, Steve. I'll rattle through what we've got. Yep. We had that bees have got a photographic memory. They can recognise human faces. In Norway, students are given a sword and a hat when they get a doctorate. The colour blue was invented by the Egyptians. Cheltenham Festival was the UK's busiest temporary airport this week. A slightly morbid one was that the rock band Kiss sells its own range of coffins. Sloths can cure some strains of cancer. And 300 banana-related injuries in Britain in 2001. What do you reckon, Steve?
I think I'm going to have to go for the Egyptians invented the colour blue, because that's going to come up all the time, because it's one of the main colours. And then we can... Just throw that around willy-nilly. If it's a good one, it's not specifically that. It's this when you take that bit away. I mean, I'd like to know some of the banana... You know when Jasper Carrot used that routine about insurance claims? I'd like a list of the banana injuries, some of the 300 banana injuries in 2001. But like you said, I reckon they're just slipping on them. There's not much else you can do, is there, really?
No, I do like that one. They, because you remember we had a fact a while back, actually, about blue... In paintings. Does that ring a bell? So basically it's like one of the was one of those expensive pigments to
This is also in Madame Blanc in Dye, the colour blue was colour purple. Right. This was in an episode of Madame Blanc, someone was poisoned with and weirdly it comes from snails, which brings us all the way back. Full circle. So the dye used to come from snails, and it was poisonous to human touch. People were dying. So there you go.
There you go. So the winner this week is Barry Sewell, who says that the Egyptians invented the colour blue.
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Thanks for joining us this week here on Absolute Radio. What have you got planned the rest of your Sunday, Steve?
If it stops raining, I'm going to do a little bit of gardening, and it's starting to get, there's a little bit, buds are starting to appear now, and this is the bit you need to attack it now, because if you get too much sun, you've got another job now. Everything's growing like mad.
I hear you. What have I got? It's St. Paddy's Day today, of course, so out later on with the family.
It's St. Patrick's Day, isn't it?
Going to head into Manchester later on with the kids, and there's lots of Irish celebrations going on. Then what we're doing tomorrow, I've got to see Rob Brydon tomorrow. I have a little sing-song with Rob, who's on tour at the moment, filming QI on Tuesday. I don't know when that's on. And then I've got to see Ian McKellen in a play on next Friday. I've got a gig next Saturday in Liverpool at Laughter House. So quite a busy one, Steve.
Cultural and busy, nice.
Cultural and busy. That's me. But even so, we'll be back here, same time next week on Absolute Radio. We'll see you next Sunday. Take care.